Okay, today is Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, and it's really the 30th day of Chodesh Adar Rishon. Adar Rishon is not really over yet, but yet it's called, even though it's not over yet, it's the 30th day of Adar Rishon, but we call it already Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. It's the intersection, it's the mingling of Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon and Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni is today. What is the significance of such thing? First of all, I want to tell you a nice little var from Mayavsky. He told me this nice line. Is that when you have a double adar, so in the first adar we have Purim Katan and Shushan Purim Katan. When it's Rosh Chodesh, what happens? Zeha Katan Gadol Yihyeh. This Katan, the Katan that is captured in Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon, Godol Yihyeh, will now become a Godol. Okay, so we'll have the real Purim. Okay, but now let's just discuss a bit. We know there are 12 months, and when there are 12 months, each one of the months corresponds to one of the Yud Beis Shiftei Yisrael. Some of these, I'm telling you now, something's not really 100%, but got my appetite wet from this new safe that was just hot off the press from Daniel Gladstein. Okay, Rabbi Daniel Gladstein, this is already his fourth book in this series. He put out, I think, also two volumes in Hebrew. This, I understand, is pretty much a translation. I think that is a translation of the Hebrew Sefer. He's a young rabbi. He's probably not even 40. I don't even know if he's even 40. And he has literally thousands of shiurim online on Torah Anytime. And he has everything. It's not unimaginable how many chidushim he has. And
what's the name of
this? Called The Concealed and the Revealed. The Concealed and the Revealed. And if I'm not mistaken, a lot of this, he has someone, a very big chassid of his, one of the chassidim, who went online and listened very carefully to all of his lectures and transcribed and embellished and polished and put it into writing for him as a kindness, just like that. You have a good chassid, look what they'll do for you. And he already put out the fourth volume. And there is, I assume there's some overlap between what's here and what is in the Hebrew version. He put out on his own. I think the first set that he put out was on Purim in Hebrew. I don't have that safer, and this I think is a little bit overlapping. But anyway, some of the things that he says over here are inspired me. Some are just straight out plagiarized, and some things are just a little bit of a spin up. But we'll see. First thing, let's discuss the basic yisoy, and that is that we know that there are 12 months in the year, and there are 12 shvatim. The 12 shvatim correspond to the 12 months correspond to the 12 shvatim. Each chodesh has a shevet associated with it. Who is the one that reveals this information? That could be from Arizal, or the one that really went to town with this is the Bnei Yisoschar. The Bnei Yisoschar, the whole sefer is built upon this principle of matching up the month with one of the Shvatim and studying the entire Tanakh to understand the nature, the personality, the characteristic of that particular shevet, and then to gain an appreciation of the significance of that month. Right, Tzvi Reisman, okay, he likes to call him Mr. Tzvi Reisman. He's a philanthropist, a very successful businessman in California. I think he's an Israeli, and he published a number of books, also with Art Scroll, elaborating upon that principle, matching up the Chodesh Hashana with the Shavata. So, we got a problem. What is the problem? The problem, in fact, provides the perfect solution. If you have a year, and the year has 12 months, and every couple of years we have a leap year, and there are 13 months. So what is it? How many Shvatim are there? Are there 12 Shvatim, or are there 13 Shvatim? How do you play games like this? You can tell me that the 12 Shvatim correspond to the 12 months, but once in a while there's a 13th month. Well, you're going to say, oh, this child, you know, sometimes he's my child, sometimes he's up for adoption, sometimes he comes home for Shabbos, sometimes I claim him as a dependent on my taxes. Sometimes if it's not in my best interest, so I don't claim as a dependent. I mean, what's going on over here? Is it 12 or is it 13? It's like, a woman, are you pregnant? I'm a little pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. What do you make up your mind over here? What's going on? So this problem, in fact, provides the perfect solution. Why does it provide the perfect solution? Because there is one shevet that is hakas sometimes is one, sometimes is two. And that is Yosef. Because Yosef, Yaakov Avinu had how many children? 12 children. Exactly. And then before he dies, he says to Yosef, Yosef, I'm giving you a Shechem Achad al Achecha. I'm giving you an additional portion. In other words, you have two sons, Ephraim and Menashe. Yosef, retire, stand down, and let your name be given over to your children. And instead of you, we'll go from one to two as a sacrifice. Yeah, see, it's not so pleasant. But it's not. It's a trade-off. It wasn't such a great deal Yosef got, because by Yosef getting two portions, Yosef disappears. He disappears. This is what I'm telling you is very important. This point that he disappears.
There's no shaving Yosef.
Right. There's no shaving Yosef. If you're going to say now that Yosef turns into Ephraim, you get number 13, Ephraim and Menashe, Yosef, where are you? Yosef, he disappeared for 22 years. There is no Yosef. If Yosef is going to give over to Ephraim and Menashe, so there are 13 Shvatim, Shechem Achad Alachecha, Asher Lekachti Miyad Ho'em Lo'edi Miyad B'kashli V'charbi, okay, there's going to be 13, that means Ephraim and Menashe, it means Yosef, goodbye. So would you do that? A parent, so you say a parent will do anything for his children. He'll go to the sacrifice to give himself up so his children can have. And yeah?
There still is a base Yosef.
The Zayde is Yosef.
The Chumash says by the Chulukah, it says Levei Yosef, Levei Menashe. That's the way it possibly is.
Okay, but
a couple of times.
It's true.
Or Levei Yosef, Levei Ephraim.
But it's Ephraim. 100%. Look, the 12 Shvatim, they all come back to Yaakov. Yaakov goes back to Yitzchak.
That's the way it prefaces.
Okay, so they're
cool. Mentions Yosef.
Of course, but because they're shy, but still, the bottom line is, it's right. Ephraim and Menashe. Yosef, he retired. He just went off into the sunset.
Well, on the Choshen, you had Yosef, you didn't have Ephraim and Menashe.
There was no Ephraim and Menashe on the Choshen. Exactly. So, what is it? We gotta make up our minds over here, okay? In some elements, Yosef. No, don't
just
don't.
Just the machlok is how you spell Yosef. It's B Yosef or Yosef.
Don't just go and say goodbye to me. Don't push me. I'm on the choshen. Yosef, I'm on the choshen. Mitzad sheni, I'm not. The land was divided. There is no chelik of Yosef in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, he's super delighted that his two sons have a double portion.
We call Adam Iskane Chutz Mibinoi Vitalmida. A person is jealous of everyone except you. Will you give everything up for your children? You'll retire, you'll do anything for your children. 100%. But there's a price to pay. 100%, he gave it up for his children. But, there's a very big dilemma. How much should a parent give up for his children? There's a balance. You don't give up everything for your children. You give up for your children, but you have a duty to your neshama. I once heard this certain Rashi, he was giving mussar to his alumni, and he was saying, I told my alumni, you guys, you were in yeshiva, you're all good guys. Now I see you guys, you don't learn, you don't daven, you're little slackers, you slacked off. And when I go and I give you mussar, you say, my children, I drive my children to the carpool. I work for my children, the biggest nachas I have. I come home and I see my children, I'm asmidim, and they're b'nei Torah. So you guys are out to lunch, and you justify being out to lunch by, look at my kids. I got great kids, they're sitting and learning. I'm supporting them, I encourage them to learn. I pay their tuition, and they're going, they're much better than I was when I was their age. So the Rashiva says, you're blessed to have children like that. You don't even begin to imagine what a bracha, but guess what? It's not an excuse for you, because your neshama will one day have to give a din v'cheshbon. You're slacking off. You also need to learn. What's going to be with your neshama? In the Olam HaEmes, you can't go put everything on your children. In the Olam HaEmes, you'll have a very big zuchus, you raise such good children, but you're going to be taken to a din v'cheshbon. what about you? What about you? There's a balance. Okay, there's a balance. It may very well be that it's 90 to 10 for your children, but there's a 10% that your neshama also still needs. And you can't just be mevater on the 10% that your neshama needs for the next world. You have to also work on your own neshama. So you have a very interesting concept over here. Over here we have Yosef. Yosef has two children, Ephraim and Menashe. And Yosef is giving up everything for Ephraim and Menashe. We find there are 13 Shvatim, it's Ephraim and Menashe, and we don't find there a Yosef altogether. Now let's now go back to the Chodesh Hashanah. In the Chodesh Hashanah, how many months are there? There are 12 months. What do the 12 months correspond to? They correspond to the 12 Shvatim. When you have 12 Shvatim, who are the 12? Who's the Sheva number 12? Yosef. So in a year when you have only one Adar, who does Adar correspond to? Who does it correspond to? Yosef. Chodesh Adar is Yosef. In fact, it fits very well because Yosef had a very difficult life. Yosef's life story is the story of Purim. V'anochi haster aster ponai. Yosef there was an assassination attempt on his life by his brothers. And then what happened? They sold him to Mitzrayim. Did Yosef know why this happened to him? Did Yosef, it was a time of deep, intense hester upon him. He was sold as a slave to Egypt. He was brought down there. He suffered. Then the mice of Eshes Potiphar, he suffered all alone in a dungeon. And then miraculously he rose to power. And then years later his brothers come when there's a famine and he's able to save the entire family. And now in hindsight, there were no open miracles. You know, everything that happened was just a matter of coincidence. A sequence of events, which was all a coincidence, which led to this miraculous revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was never really, was always there behind the scenes, was always hiding in the background, and was always rooting for Yosef, and brought about an incredible salvation for the entire Klal Yisrael through this very bizarre story. Yosef's life story is the story of Purim. Exactly, the parallels are just out of the open. And in fact, even the language, when you look in Parshas, the language I don't remember all the details, but many of the Pesukim in Chumash, in Parshas, Miketz, and Vayigash, and Vayeshev, are very similar. There are certain chunks, there are certain expressions that you find in the Megillah, and you find in the Parsha of Yosef. Why, my high? Because this is the story of Yosef. Yosef is a Purim story. So there's no question that the Chodesh Adar is Yosef. But what happens in the month, a year, when it's a leap year, and now we have to have 13 months, not 12 months.
That's all part of Paro.
Achashverosh is Paro. It's all part of the big story. It's all part of, it's a basic idea of Hester Panim. V'enochi Hester Aster Panim. Now in a year when we have a leap year, and we no longer have 12 months, we have 13 months. Who are we going to pay it? Who are we going to add into the year that's going to make month number 13? So the answer is, Yosef, you have to leave. You have to depart. And Yosef will now be replaced with his two sons, Ephraim and Menashe, or more precisely, the age of order is Menashe and Ephraim. So that means that this year is a leap year. We have a double Adar. Adar Rishon is Menashe, and Adar Sheni is Ephraim. It's a different year. A leap year is not, you know, the same year, just another month. No. It's a totally different year. There is no Yosef. When you take Yosef out, you deal with Ephraim and Menashe, they had a very different type of life. Menashe was the Mishne L'melech. Menashe was Yosef's assistant in dealing with matters relating to the state. Ephraim, he was the Talmud Chacham. Ephraim sat and learnt. Ephraim was the one who sat and learnt. He was the one, when Yaakov Avinu came down for 17 years, who was Meshamesh Yaakov? Ephraim. Yaakov Avinu gave over the Mesorah to Ephraim. From Ephraim came Yehoshua Binun. Okay, so Ephraim, they serve different roles. Why is Purim an Ador Sheni, not an Ador Rishon? When Yaakov wanted to give the brachas to Yosef's children, he told them to stand, he stood them up in front of him, and he put his right hand on Ephraim, the left hand on Manasseh, and they said, "My father, you're making a mistake. This is the wrong child." So he said to them, "No, I'm not making a mistake. Sikel esyodav ki Manasseh abuchar. Manasseh will be great, but Ephraim, he will be greater. He will be greater. From Ephraim will come Yehoshua, from Ephraim will come greater things." And I forgot the exact words to pass it. Yochiv hakotol yigdal mimenu. V'zayr yemeloy ha'amim. Ephraim would be greater. In the order of the months, it goes by the age. Adar Rishon is Menashe. Adar Sheni is Ephraim. Purim is an Adar Sheni. There's a message. Besides the simple reason why we have Adar, why it's called an Adar Sheni, simple reason is because we want to connect it to Pesach. We want to be Soimech Geula LeGeula. We want to bring the two Geulas, so the Geula of Purim with the Geula of Pesach. We want to join these two redemptions together. But in addition to that, Chazal is sending a message that the miracle of Purim is primarily rooted in Ephraim. Ephraim was, there's a need in this world to devote yourself to the ways of the world, to engaging in the teva of this world. And then there is a need for people to engage in ruchnis, and to put aside other matters, and those, you can't have everything. The Zohar thing has Torah, Gedulah, Machi, Nechem. What is the focus? Is the focus going to be the Olam HaTeva, or is the focus going to be the Olam HaRuchni? Purim, as we all know, Kimu V'Kiblu. Purim was a new Kabbalas HaTorah. The goal of Purim was, like, Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim. The end of the story of Purim climax with, they were Mekabel Torah Be'ahava. Matan Torah was never complete until the Purim story. Matan Torah, we were forced. Kofa Aleim Har Kigigis. Hashem took the mountain, put up on Klal Yisrael. If you're not in the Kabbal the Torah, Shom Tehei Kivuraschem. Purim was the Gemar of Matan Torah. Kimu V'Kiblu, due to the love that they experienced from the miracle of seeing Hashem's Hanhoga in the miracle, they were makabel the Torah anew on Purim. Kimu V'Kiblu. Purim, Kimu V'Kiblu is an element that relates uniquely to Ephraim, not to Menashe. Putting the emphasis of Purim in Adar Rishon would be giving the wrong message. There are two elements in Purim. One in Purim, it was a miracle of Derech HaTeva. There was diplomacy, there was Esther HaMalka, she's in the palace, she goes into the Melech, she makes a request, she's very sophisticated, she has a plan, she has a scheme, she makes a party, gets Ahasuerus jealous of Haman. There's a love triangle going on here. Okay, it's a very sophisticated scheme. This type of sophistication is something which relates to Menashe. Menashe is the diplomat. Menashe is the Secretary of Defense and the Chief of Staff and the President and the Vice President, all combined. Okay, all combined. Menashe is dealing with all the sophistication of the scheme that was going on with Esther and Mordechai. And the whole spiel, this is Menashe. This is Menashe's forte. That was the story. And what was the result? What was the goal? The end game? Kimu v'kiblu. Torah. Klal Yisrael woke up. Wow, look at that. They saw Hashem. They saw the Anochi Haster Kanai. They saw the mask came off. The concealment came off. They saw the Yad Hashem. And when they saw the Yad Hashem, what was the result? Torah. They reconnected to the Torah in a way that they had not to from the time of Kabbalah Satorah. So now, you can't have everything in life. That's a reality. No one is zoicha to shtei shulchanos. You have to make a decision. What's the ikar? What is the tofel? If you were given the task, okay, we have Purim this year. Ordinarily, Purim is in the domain of Yosef. It's a perfect fit for Yosef. The story of Yosef is the story of Purim. Wonderful. Yeah. But this year, Yosef is on vacation in Miami Beach, Florida. He's gone. He's not around this year, Yosef. Yosef has left the stage. He sent in two representatives. Who are these two representatives? Ephraim and Menashe. Oh, Ephraim and Menashe. They're Yosef's children, but they have taken Yosef's personality and splintered it. They've broken it down into the element of Yosef, of the diplomat, of the one who engages in the darkei shel olam, haneg bohem minag derech eretz. And mitzad sheni, Ephraim is the one who has engaged and embraced the element of kimu v'kiblu, of Torah. So where are you going to put Purim? What in your eye? It's a test. This year is a test. Where do you want to celebrate Purim? Do you want to celebrate Purim in Adar Sheni? Or do you want to celebrate Purim in Adar Rishon? Ordinarily, there's only one Adar. No one knows what's really going on in your mind. What really intrigues you about Purim? Why are you happy on Purim? What is so... You know, everyone's different strokes and different folks. Some people, they love Purim because they follow politics the whole year. They live and breathe. They never miss an episode from Tucker Carlson. They'll never miss a press conference, Taf Chomer Lidrush, in order to go and dissect it and make what sons are going to do. They live and breathe this stuff. So when they come, Purim! Wow, the ultimate saga in politics. The ultimate. My Purim is Adoration. Adoration. And then there are people, they're not into politics, they don't care, for whatever reason, it doesn't interest them. They like the Ketzois and the Nesivos. And they like the Daf Yomi. Okay, they listen to them. They're fully immersed in the mitzvahs, in the chesed. So now, that's what I like about it. So now, when do you want, in the regular year, it's all merged together. The story of Yosef has everything. But in this year, we have to separate Yosef into two parts. We have to take his personality, his multifaceted persona, and splinter it into two parts, into the element of the haneg b'hamini derech eretz, the intrigue, the scheming, the planning, the whole saga of what goes on in this world, all of the mysteries of what goes on in geopolitics, verse Yosef, verse Ephraim. Ephraim, what does he know from? He sits there in the Beis Medrash, just puts him in the Gemara. He doesn't even know where the Ukraine is. I thought the Ukraine was after Canarsie, you got to the Ukraine.
Is it Brighton Beach?
Where else is it? Okay? That's what Bolton said about Trump. Trump didn't know where Ukraine was.
People don't realize Ukraine is older than Russia.
Okay? Ephraim doesn't know from these things. Okay, Ephraim doesn't know this. So, Mark, which Purim do you want to celebrate this year? Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? So, today, you know, we live in this world, so during Adar Rishon, there were certain people that got very excited. They make these little mini parties. I discovered yesterday Rabbi Gladstein Sefer, he says that Chabad, they're very, very makpid not to celebrate at all Adar Rishon. Zero. They go to an extreme. Adar Rishon, zero. We don't say Tachna Adar Rishon. Some people, it would seem, we don't say Tachna the whole year. But Purim Katan, we're going to say Tachlin. You know why? Don't accuse me of thinking the story of Purim is just about politics. The story of Purim is about Kimu v'Kimlu. It was an incredible revelation of Hashem's koyach in running this world. There's no doubt about that. But that's not what it's about. It's about results. Results matter. What's the result? What's the goal? What's the end game? Natural gas. No, sir. What's the end game? The end game is Kimu v'Kimlu. And therefore, if a person puts too much emphasis on Purim Katan, you're missing the point. Chazal were very clever. Purim, in a year, there are 12 months. We've read the whole year, so there are 12 months. And there are 12 months, you got to knock out. Who are the 12 months? The last month is Yosef. Wow, Yosef. Look at Chumash. The story of Yosef's life is the story of Purim. Hands down. No one's going to deny that. The Hester Panim, how after everything happened, wow, there were no Nisim Gluyim, no open miracles, sequence of events that made absolutely no sense, bizarre, strange, queer, no one, people scratching their head, what in the world is going on here? And at the end, wow, now we see the Yad Hashem, now we get it. That's Yosef's life, and that's the story of Purim. And that had two elements. It was a hakdama for Kabbalah Satira in a certain sense. It was everything together. What? Tosha Baal Peh. This year, Yosef, bye-bye. He's on a cruise in the Caribbean. He ain't coming back before him, Yosef. Yosef is gone. Yosef this year is not present. Instead, he sends his two sons, Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe and Ephraim are just as good. They take him and they take his personality of Yosef, his multifaceted dimensional persona, and to Ephraim, Menashe, we thrust upon him the element of Haneg, Bohemini, their Cheritz, to the Yad Hashem. And in Ephraim, we focus on the Mesoira of the Avos, the Ben Zikunin, the Torah that Yaakov Avinu learned in the Beis Medrash Shel Shem was given by Yaakov to Yosef, and that went down to Ephraim. And Purim has both elements. It has the Haneg Bahamini Derech Eretz, and then there's the result. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. Kimu masha kiblu kivar. The Gemar, the Chasima of Matan Torah. You could only have one Purim. Life is all about making decisions. What do you want? Where do you want your Purim to be? Do you want to focus on Menashe's Purim, or do you want to focus on Ephraim's Purim? Besides, Chazal have made the decision for us, and they told us Ador Sheni, because Ador Sheni is Ephraim. Sikel es Yodov ki Menashe Abuchar hu Yigdal v'Zaro hu Yigdal Mimen, where Ephraim will be greater v'Zaro Yim Meloi Ha'amin. Meloi HaGoyim, Ephraim is when you make the Purim. The goal of Purim, don't make a mistake, it's the scheming and the political event is out of this world, but that's not the end game. The end game is Kimu v'Kimu, that's where Purim belongs, in Adar Sheni. Okay, now, that's one disoyt. Now, I want to go a little further. Now, someone told me something that is, this what I'm telling you now is off the charts, amazing. It doesn't make any sense, though. But it's still, there's a kernel of truth in this, and I don't even know what this means, but I want to develop it a little bit with you for a few moments. This next part of what we're going to talk about. Next part. All right, here we go. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Yeshaya. We learned this a long, long time ago. Let me read you the pasuk. And it talks about the end of days. This is in Isaiah. Yeshaya Perik Lamed. Not what they saw on the bus. Okay. Yeshaya Perik Lamed. Pasik Chav Chavav. Okay, Shem Hashem Yudke Vavke. And it talks about what's going to be like at the end of days. What's going to be like. So it says something which no one knows what this means. There's no possible way to understand what this means. It says, V'hoye, it's going to be the Or HaLavana Ka'or HaChama. The Or of the moon is going to be like the Or of the Chama of the sun. Okay. the Or HaChama, and what it's the Or of the Chama Yihyeh is going to be Shiv O Sayim Keor Shivas Hayomim Biyoim Chavoish Hashem Eshever Amoy. This will happen on the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal. The word Chavoish means to put on a bandage on our wounds, a bandage on our wounds. Eshever amoy umochatz makoso yirpe, and the injury and the injuries of their wound of their wounds will be healed. So it says here that the Or HaLavon will be the Or HaChama, and the Or HaChama is going to be shiv osayim of what it was keor shivas hayamim. What does that mean? Right, it's going to be seven times the Or that was from the 7 days of creation. All right, so you look at the Mefarshim, they're probably unlimited of Mefarshim telling you all different ideas what this means. And Rashi says, the word Shivosayim means seven times seven times seven. He says it explicitly. Shivosayim, Sheva Shivi'iyos, seven times seven times seven. And he explains, Ke'or shel Shivasayamim, Hare Arboim Vitesha. When it first says, like the Or of the 7 days, so every day there's light. Every day of the 7 days there's light. Multiple, put it all together. So that's seven times seven. That's what Rashi says. There's already seven there. And Hare Arboim Vitesha, Shivi Iois, Ho'oilam, Ho'oilim, and then multiply that by another seven. Ho'oilim, Lishloish Meois, 300, the Arboim Ushloisha. 7 times 7 times 7 is 343. Rashi takes these words, Shivasayim Keor Shivasayamim. So there's Or of 1 day, and we multiply that by 7. I'm not really even sure how we, you know, it's not important for now to figure out exactly what Rashi means, but Rashi says the number. Rashi says this collection of words, I'm all mixed up now with these words, but that doesn't matter. It's totally relevant for what we need to say. Rashi makes it very clear. This expression of Shivasayim Keor Shivasayamim means 7 times 7 times 7. How does Rashi get from those words Shivasayim Keor Shivasayamim? We'll have to figure that out later. Rashi says... 43. It's weird. Rashi says explicitly. Shivasayim Sheva Shivi'iyos Keor Shal Shivasayamim Hare Arboim Vatesha. First we go to 49, yeah, 7 times 7. Shivi'iyos. And we multiply that 7 times. Ho'oilim Lishloish Meois V'Arboim Ushloisha 343. 7 times 7 times 7. Third grade mathematics. 7 times 7 times 7, 343. Okay, very nice. So that means that the light, when you go outside, you'll be blinded. Global warming. You go outside, there's going to be an intensity of light that is so great, it's going to be 343 times the intensity of what light we have today. What does that mean? No one knows what this is. This is spiritual light, physical light. Who knows what that means? Okay, I'm not here to figure out what it means. Now let's look at today. What is today? Today is an amazing, this today is Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. It's an amazing day. This Chodesh, by the way, is a Chodesh that is mesugal for peace, not war. Because what is the reason why, what is the reason why we have an Adar Sheni? To make peace between the sun and the moon. When Hashem made the world, there was Shnei Amoris HaGedolim. They were equal, whatever that means. I don't know what this means. And then something went wrong. And now we have two, we have a lunar cycle and a solar cycle. The earth rotates around the sun. A cycle is 360, approximately 365 days. And the moon rotates around the earth 354 days. So what is the discrepancy between the solar cycle and the lunar cycle? 11. So every single year, in every cycle of the sun, of the earth going around the sun, relative to the moon going around the earth, we are losing 11 days. Okay, this comes taunt us. After 3 years, we're already behind more than a month. We have no choice. So there's a discrepancy between the lunar calendar and the solar calendar. So we have to make peace. Call in the diplomats. Let's go to the UN and make shalom between the Shemesh and the Yoreach. They don't see eye to eye. Pun intended. Okay? The sun and the moon, they're not aligned. There's no shalom between them. So who comes to make peace? Who's the big diplomat? Zman. The Chodesh. The Chodesh is the peacemaker. You know what? We're going to give another month. We're going to make peace. The one that's really making peace, the one that's really is the Levana. The Levana is the nice guy. I'll take the hit. I'll go and I'll wait another month. We'll add. I don't know however you want. It doesn't matter. However you want to say it. The month, we give another month. This time of the year, this month of the year, only comes around every 3-4 years. And during this Tekufa, what are we doing in essence? We're making shalom between the first two enemies that existed in this world. Who are the first two enemies that exist in this world? The sun and the moon. Hashem created the Shnei Hama'oyos HaGedolim. And what happened? It was jealousy. Jealousy. Hey, why is someone else sitting on the dais? I'm the only one that sits at the dais. Ein shnei milochim mishamshim b'keser echad. There was rivalry. No, there was rivalry, and that rivalry led to a churban, a milchama. The milchama was when the moon complained, "It's not fair." So Hashem nuked the levana. Hashem nuked the levana, and the levana was diminished. And the levana is not a happy camper. The levana now is off whack, and we need to make peace. And the way we make peace by coordinating, recalibrating, is this month. This month in the Olam Haruchni is a month that is Mesugal for Shalom. Melech HaMashiach, there's one month during a Tekufa, it's the month of Adar Sheni, is the month of the coming of Mashiach. Why? Because what is Mashiach all about? Shalom. The goal of Mashiach, as said over and over in Yeshaya, is to create Lamarbe HaMisra Ulashalom Ein Kates. The ultimate peace. Chodesh Adar Sheni is the month, is the peacemaking month. Shalom. And how do you do that? Another month to make up for the 11 days. Okay. That was a hakdama to what we're getting to next. We'll put everything together in a moment. Now comes the chiddush. Someone told this to me recently. Okay, actually a woman told this to me recently. A woman. That's someone that actually get into a lot of trouble here. Okay. A milumedes, a very wise woman. I'm not going to say who it is for the moment because I'm not so sure she wants me to say who she is. But a very wise woman told me this pasuk. It's purely her idea. And she says, when it says in the pasuk there are 343 days, what does it mean? It means the sun is going to slow down. Right now, a lunar cycle is, what's a solar cycle? 365. Go to kindergarten. Every kindergarten child knows that it's 365. Well, on the day of Mashiach coming, the hoya it's going to be, V'or hachama yiyeh shivasayim k'or shivas hayomim of shivas hayomim. It's not going to be 365 anymore. It's going to be 343. The sun's going to slow down.
Sun's not moving.
I mean the earth. So relatively speaking. Listen. Anyone that says the earth is round, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you can't come to the share. The earth is flat. Anyone who doesn't know that, it starts in Flatbush and ends at Bar Park. After you get to the fence over there, that's it. You fall off. Anyone who doesn't know is a conspiracy theorist. you know, and we're going to have to ban you from Facebook and Twitter. Anyone who has these, you know, it's going to lead to vaccine hesitancy, people who think the earth is round. Okay, let's be serious here. Okay, but you're right. Okay, so the sun, I don't mean the sun's going to slow down. You're right, you caught me. I mean the earth's going to speed up. Okay, the earth's going to speed up. And a solar year, here, I'm telling you, if it doesn't make any sense, but just bear with me for a moment, because the other shot also doesn't make any sense. The regular shot, bear with me for a moment, and hear the chachma that this person told me, how this all comes together. The earth's going to speed up. And a solar year, it's not going to be 365 days, it's going to be 343 days. It's the pasuk. It's the beferish pasuk. Right now we have a solar year, 365. The hoya, it's going to be or halavana karachama. Okay, what does that mean? We'll see in a second. The or hachama. What's going to be the or hachama? Yeah, a new order, a new world order, a new world order. It's going to be shivasayim ka'or shivas hayomim. It used to be when Hashem created the world, He put the sun in position and He put the earth on its course, its orbit. It took 365 and a quarter days to make it back to where it started. That's how it was. Things are going to change. The earth's going to speed up a little bit, give it a little some vitamins, some steroids, and the earth will make it around its circuit in 343 days. What about the moon? Well, the pasuk says, the moon ain't going nowhere. The moon is going to go around the earth. Don't disturb it. Don't give it any medication, any vaccines. It's healthy. Leave it the way it is. It's going to go around the same way it goes around now. How many times does it take to go around? How long does it take? 354 days. What is the difference between 343 and 354? 11. Ooh, 11. Isn't that the same number of days there is right now a discrepancy between the sun and the moon, where the sun has the advantage of having 11 more days? Right now, the reason why today is Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, and it's not Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is because we got a problem. We have a lunar cycle of 354 and a solar cycle 365. We have a discrepancy of 11 days. So we have to go give another month to make up for the discrepancy. La'asid lavoi, the moon's going to have the same cycle. 12 months, 354. But the sun is going to change. So pasuk, v'hoya or achama yeh k'shiva shiva sayim k'or shiva sayonim. Rashi, 343. It doesn't mean, me'ayim parmul Torah, just that the intensity is going to be 343 times the intensity is today. We'll be burnt to a crisp. It means the cycle is no longer going to be 365. It's going to be reduced to 343. Doesn't that make sense? Because everything about the Bereas HaOlam is 7, in terms of 7. 7, 7, 7 times 7, 49. So shouldn't it make sense that when it comes to the sun, which is part of the Bria, it should be 7 times 7 times 7? The cycle should be, if the whole world is built upon the principle of sevens, it should be 7 times 7 times 7, 343 days. That's what's going to be. That's the way the world was meant to be. Meant to be three, but then we have a discrepancy between the sun and the moon, because the moon only has 300 and has more now, 354 days. So you know what's going to happen? We're going to have a leap year every 3-4 years, just like today, but it's a different type of leap year. You know what the leap year is going to be? We're going to be only have 11 months. We're not going to have 12 months. Another thing is very interesting, because I was by a shir Friday night, when I daven Friday night. They have, after davening is over, in the winter time, they have a speaker. After davening is over, one of the people in the yeshiva, I daven Ruach HaTorah on Ocean Avenue, Friday night, little minion, small modest minion, and after davening is over, they have a speaker. And a couple of weeks ago, it was actually one of the Rosh Yeshivas who spoke, like Kaplowitz, and he basically said is that it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that there are 12 months. It doesn't say anywhere. All it says is, Chodesh Nisan, Rishon Hu Lochem L'Chodshei Hashana. How many months are there? Whatever you need. That was part of his drasha. This year you need 12, there's 12. When there's 13, there's 13. Guess what? What happens if we don't need 12, we only need 11. There'll be a leap year. What is it, a leap year? A leap year where you only have 11 months. 11 months. Well, you can't do that. You take away a whole month. The months correspond to the shifteikah. Who are you going to abandon? Who's not going to be your child? Which one of your children are you going to tell, have a nice day, I'm not paying your tuition? Who? Yosef. Because that's exactly what Yaakov Avinu did to Yosef. When Yosef gave him a bracha, my son, I'm giving a Shechem Achad Alachecha. Was that a bracha or was that bad news? Good news or bad news? Like we learned in the morning today, when the people said to David, we have news to tell you. You're not going to war anymore. Was that good news or bad news? All depends for who. For David, it was bad news. For them, they thought it was good news. When Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, I'm sorry to tell you, you no longer be one of the Shvatim. You didn't grow up under my influence. 22 years, you were gone. How could you be one of the Shvatim? You were gone. You're missing in action. All of your brothers, they were under my authority these years. I trained them. I put into them your Shemayim. Not you. You're out. You know who's taking your place? Your children. So don't feel so bad. B'chol Adam Miskani Chutz Mibinoi V'talmido. Your children were Moiser Nefesh to be who they are today. Living up in a land of immorality, promiscuity. They were Moiser Nefesh. They deserve it. You're a good guy, but you don't make the cut. Who says what I'm saying is right? I don't know what I'm saying is right, but look, that
why
point
can't
was...
You just be 12 months with God, 28 and a half days?
Why? No, because it says...
Do it a leap year again.
Because, no, because it doesn't say that. It says, V'hoya or hachama ke or halavana. Because it doesn't say anywhere... It doesn't say anywhere the moon's going to change. That's why.
And 28-day months is really great. Because it's 7 days.
No, but it doesn't say you have a pasuk that says the moon's going to change. It doesn't say the moon's going to change. The reason why I'm saying this is because the only place where it says there's going to be a change.
The moon won't change. We're just going to now have our year.
No, you can't. No, the moon is based upon the moilet. You can't go make your own months. The moon is not based on how many days you want the moon to be. The levana is the moon waxes and wanes. When it appears exactly 29 and a half days later. You can't make a new cycle for the moon. The moon doesn't say anywhere that the orbit of the moon is going to change in time. The moon is a steady. The moon represents Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, they don't waver. They do their mission. The almost oilam are the sun. The sun today is at an accelerated, the sun today is at a 365. They're running. You ever go in the street? Everyone is running. Where's everyone going? Why is there so much traffic? Where is everyone going? You're going nowhere fast. Cop pulls the guy over. You're going 90 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone. Where are you running? I don't know. I'm not going anywhere. I have nothing to do. So why are you going so fast? Where are you running? Where the whole world is running. Where are they going? The sun is 365. Whatever that means. La'asa lavoi, it's going to change. It's going to be 350, it says in the Pasuk, 350, 343. It's going to slow down quite a bit. Whatever that means. It's going to change to 343. Oh, there's a discrepancy. The Levana. The Levana never changes. Klal Yisrael, we follow the moon. The moon will never change. It represents a Klal Yisrael, they're loyal to the Messiah. No deviation. Soldiers, loyal, no change. You don't change the Messiah. Oh, there's a discrepancy. We'll have a new leap year. You know what the new leap year is? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah there are 12 months. All it says is, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. So you could have 12 months. You could have 13 months. La'asalav, it will have 11 months. So you're going to say it's not fair. Don't you know the B'nai Yisoschar? The B'nai Yisoschar says that every one of the months corresponds to one of the Shiftei Ka. And the Shiftei Ka, there are 12. There are 12 Shiftei Ka. Excuse me. That's not so simple. There are 11 Shiftei Ka. The 12th is a very complicated child. The 12th is Yosef. And you know Yosef is very complicated because Yosef sometimes disappears. And when he disappears, one of two things happen. Either there are two children that replace him, Menashe and Ephraim, or guess what? Since Yosef does disappear, and he is, and Ephraim and Menashe, they're only grandchildren, they're not, that allows that Yosef, every once in a while, steps aside.
We're
going to get rid of Adar. No, we're going to get rid of Adar. Adar is the month. Why? Because that's exactly the point of Purim. Purim is the ultimate of Purim is you don't need a Purim. That's the ultimate of Purim. Purim is a day that says there's a lot of depth in this. It's not totally my stuff. Purim, what is Purim? They don't mirror what happened on Purim. Nothing happened. What happened? What happened? There was a party in the palace. The king got angry and he killed someone. He got angry. What happened on Purim? There was smoke and mirrors. There were miracles. There was a war. There were bombs flying. What happened on Purim? Nothing. It was just an event at the palace. And for us, it meant the whole world. The whole world changed because of that. The whole world changed because there was an edict. Lahashmid, Lahanegul, Abedetzkot. That never changed. That gezerah was never bottled. No one ever canceled that gezerah. The goyim could have come out and killed the Jewish people because of what happened. So the king said, you can defend yourself. You can defend yourself. Defend yourself, no not the chutzpah to rise up against us. The whole thing was a cold war. Oh, it says they killed people. Okay, so they killed some people. They killed some people. No, they killed a few Meshugoyim. They got out of hand. It was a cold war. The Etzen was a cold war. That's what it was. There was a gzeir l'hash l'har l'abed. They had all the nukes that they wanted. So Achashverosh said, I'll give you some nukes also. I'll give you my football. You can press some buttons also if they start up with you. So no one wanted to start up with us. So it was a cold war, and that was the end. And we saw the Yad Hashem take that to its ultimate natural conclusion. It's just a regular day, and nothing happens in the news. The news cycle is so boring. You don't even bother to watch the news. You don't have an interest in
no more war. Because.
No, right, exactly. You don't need a Purim. Not needing a Purim is the ultimate Purim. It's the Hakara that Hashem controls everything. So La'asa Lavoi, Purim, this year, the leap year, is where all the action is. This year, regular year, you have 12 months. Yosef! Ushpizen, like the Ushpizen in the Sukkah. Who do you welcome into the Sukkah? You welcome in Yosef, or you welcome in Ephraim and Menashe? They don't come to the Sukkah, Ephraim and Menashe. They don't come. Who comes into the Sukkah? Yosef. Shalom Aleichem, Yosef. In a regular year, we have Yosef. This year, you got to make a decision. Yosef is not coming this year. But Mashiach is not here yet either. Mashiach didn't come, not that I know. So but it's a little bit like Mashiach came, because when Yosef doesn't come, that's already the Zman Mashiach. When Yosef doesn't come, that's Zman Mashiach. Because Zman Mashiach, you're gonna have every once in a while 11 months. Make a leap year. But it's not Mashiach. So how do you show it's not Mashiach? Oh, welcome Menashe, welcome Ephraim. Got to make a decision. When is Purim? Is your Purim going to be Adar Aleph or Adar Sheni? You want to focus on Haneg Mohammed Nigdar Cheretz, or you want to focus on results? Kibu v'kiblu. Kibu v'kiblu. Yimos HaMashiach in the year when we have to be Mephayes, the Chama, because the Chama is going too slow. The tables are turned. Yimos HaMashiach. It's not that the sun has 11 more days than the moon. The moon has 11 more days than the sun. The moon is 354. The sun is 7 times 7 times 7. That makes a lot of sense. Isn't that the way the world's supposed to operate? Everything in multiples of 7? Shemitah and Yovel and Shabbos. Everything is in multiples of 7 in this world. 7 times 7 times 7. The cycle of the sun is 343. The cycle of the moon is 354, a discrepancy of 11. So very good, we're very used to that. We know how to do, we know how to deal with the number 11. We do this all the time. We've been doing this for generations. We have a discrepancy of 11, so you make a leap year every 3-4 years. Shalom al Yisrael. Instead of the leap year being 13 months, the leap year will be 11 months. Whoever said you have to have 12 months? Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah 12 months. It says you have to, the first month, who are you going to drop from your equation? You're going to drop Adar. How could you drop one of your children? This year, we didn't drop Yosef. It was a hot potato, Yosef. He's out the door this year. We don't see Yosef. He's not coming to our Purim Suda, Yosef. Ephraim is coming to the Purim Suda. Not Menashe. Who are you inviting to your Purim Suda? Ephraim, not Menashe. Adar Sheni. So, when Mashiach will come, Yosef won't come either. And guess what? Ephraim won't come either. Because that's the ultimate Purim. The ultimate Purim is to know with the utmost clarity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world. Everything is the Yad Hashem to the extreme. You don't even, Purim is Hester Panim. What are you celebrating on Purim? You're celebrating on Purim nothing. You're celebrating the Cold War. The Soviets in the United States, that's what you're celebrating. The Cold War, stalemate. Who has more nukes? That's what happened in the story of the Purim. Ahasuerus says, go get him. That was the last words of Biden's, go get him. He gave the world nukes. Get the Jews.
They were debating what they would remember.
And then what happened at the end of the Purim story? There was some mice in the palace. Ahasuerus got near with Haman. Ahasuerus says to the Jews, if you also want, you could also go get him. Oh, the Jews can go again. The Jews also have a football to press some buttons, to launch some nukes. No one's going to kill each other. So, what are you celebrating? What are you celebrating? The Yad Hashem. The spitz of that is, the altar, the Anochi Haster, is when the month completely disappears. With the disappearance of the month, that is the ultimate part. The ultimate Hester is when 30 days disappears off the calendar. That's the ultimate Hester. The ultimate Purim is no Purim. In that, every once in a while, every 3-4 years. Okay, all of this is all built upon this one incredible insight, which blew my mind, that when it says, everyone quotes this pasuk, the Haya, it's going to be, in Achas Hayamim, the Or HaChama is going to be Shivasayim Ka'or Shivas Yimei Bereshis. Oh, 7 times 7 times 7 is going to be global warming, radiation. There's going to be, who knows what that means? Everyone has a twist what that means. The intensity of 343 times the intensity of light today. You can't survive. If it goes up 10 degrees here, everyone's already schwitzing. Can you imagine what it's going to be? The temperature, how could the world survive? Oh, it means the R of Ruchnius. Our Ruchnius, that Hashem was Goyiz L'Tzadikim before Ma'at. Okay, you have all these very nice, elaborate perushim and what this means. It's a very simple pshat what it means. It means the solar cycle will be reduced from 365 to 343, the way it was meant to be in the very beginning. And then, who's Yodi Alohu Elyoina? The Levana! The underdog now becomes dominant. The lunar cycle, the Jews, who have a cycle of 354, they never wavered. They never wavered from the beginning of creation to the end of creation. And now they're as the Yodi Alohol Yoin in the times of Mashiach. And they're going to accommodate. They're going to lead the world with humility. The cold Mamadaka. You know what? Will knock out a month for you in order to make peace. Ulshaloim ein kates. What is the ultimate ein kates? Zero. Ulshaloim, what is kates? Ein kates. Infinite.
Zero.
infinity. What is infinity? Infinity and is the same as zero. Infinity is so inclusive, it means nothing. You can't define it. When it cannot be defined, it's
right.
Emptiness. Ulish shalom. The way we're going to make peace is by disappearing for a month. Go on vacation. Mark, we'll go with you to Eretz Yisrael. Go on vacation for a month. Ulish shalom in Kate. That's the peace to the reconciliation between the Shemesh and the Levana. Okay, the person that said this Varda, I want to have a call out to that person who told me this idea. That person does not want their name to be mentioned, so I'm going to have to go send them this thing so you know who you are. And this whole show is only because of you. So thank you very much. And when she'll give me permission, I'll tell you who said it. Okay, Rabbi Sai, we're going to stop over here. Thank you for listening. Adonai chafetz l'man tzikol yadil t'va v'yadir.